Let me read Psalm 120 on page 622. Psalm 120, page 622. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Thanks, Phil, and good afternoon. Let me add my welcome to that of Phil and Teresa. It's nice to see everyone. Limited in number though we are, I was looking at the rotor earlier this afternoon to check we hadn't missed anything. Sort of list of people who said they were away. I think it was longer than the list of people who were here. So it's very lovely to see you all here this afternoon. It's warm, the kids are in with us and tall. So we're aiming for a slightly shorter sermon than usual today. So it's going to be, I guess, what you might call a honeypot sermon. We're going to open a couple of psalms, sort of dip our fingers in, see a couple of encouraging truths. But we're not going to pick through every word. There may be plenty of you to go and look at afterwards and think about it. But as we get started, a question for you. What are the challenges that you are facing? What is on your mind as I asked that question about challenges? What do you think of? What are things that keep you awake? Worrying during the day. I know for me at the moment we're trying to sort out moving house, that's quite stressful, quite a lot to organise there. It's also looking after Izzy and Fred there. Obviously, not at school for the summer, we're trying to make sure they have a lovely time. Yes, no. How can we make sure that Izzy and Fred have a really good summer, a really enjoyable and productive summer, that Kent and I also get the rest? I don't know what else it might be for you, but what are the challenges we face? But what about for living as a Christian? What are the challenges for you in trying to live for God day to day, week to week, a month? Maybe it's speaking up at work. Maybe it's that you're the only one in your class at school who says they're a Christian, and that's difficult. The others ask, well, why do you believe that? Maybe it's trying to talk to other people around you about Jesus and why you trust him and love him. Or maybe it's just keeping going. Maybe you're finding it hard going living as a Christian. How are you going to keep going? How do you know you're not going to stumble and fall? Well, as we look at Psalm 120 to 131 today, I hope you'll see some encouragements about keeping going. These are from the Psalms of Ascent, as Phil said earlier. They were written, or at least gathered together as a collection of songs, for pilgrims on their way out to Jerusalem. So the mental image for us as we hear these songs is of God's people, the Jewish people, gathering together, travelling from all over the country to the temple in Jerusalem. Now obviously we don't do that today, but the equivalent for us might be gathering together here as Christians, as we come to meet with God through Jesus. These are some of the truths we can have on our mind. But also, more broadly, living life on our way to heaven. We're promised, if we're trusting in Jesus, eternal life with the Lord. Well, what does it look like on that ascent, that journey? And we're going to look at two of them today. We're going to see two types of challenge and two reasons for us to have confidence. Two types of challenge, two reasons for us to have confidence. And let's start with Psalm 120. We read it, or Phil read it to us just a moment ago. Great to have the Bibles open. I think it was page 622, Psalm 120. And we begin with facing the challenges of culture. From the very start, the psalmist, the composer, is upfront about the challenges he faces. Verse 1, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Well, why is the psalmist distressed? What is it that's making him upset? And the answer is the culture he's living in. Did you see that in verse 2? Lying lips, deceitful tongues. Or verse 7? I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The psalmist is living in a culture of deceit and discord. But more than that, there's another spiritual aspect to it. In verse 5, we see that he's living in a people that are a long way from God spiritually. When we read that, you may not know where Meshech or Kedar are. And to be honest, it doesn't really matter. Meshech is far to the north of Israel, by the Black Sea. Kedar is to the south of Israel, in the Arabian desert. It's actually impossible to live in both. The psalmist does not literally live there. He's saying, I'm far away. I'm far away from Israel. I'm far away from Jerusalem. And the people I live with are far away from God. So we've got deceit, discord, and spiritually far from God. And doesn't that sound familiar? In our day-to-day lives, in the challenges we face, in the world around us, we live in a society, a culture, where sadly deceit is all too common, discord is also too common, and people are a long way from God. And the psalmist's response to that is distress. That's a right response. I don't know if you ever feel that when you watch the news and you think, really? Again? Well, that's the right response, to feel that distress, that frustration, that sadness at aspects of the culture we live in. And this psalm says that that's a right response and that God feels that too. Did you see in verse 3 and 4 that promise of judgment? And that's where the psalmist says we should find confidence. Facing the challenges of culture, or we should have confidence in the Lord who judges wickedness. He looks at the wrong that's done, verse 3, and what does he say? He will punish you with a warrior's arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Now, that's not literal. We're not talking about literal arrows here. The broom bush was a particular type of wood that was very good for making charcoal. It's not about arrows and charcoal, but it is about God saying, enough. This psalm promises we can have confidence that God will put all things right in the end. And actually, as Christians here today, if we're trusting in Jesus, we know that that comes through Jesus, that his death on the cross, evil is defeated, and when he comes again, when he returns, he will put all things right. Judgment will come. And so when we face a culture where there is deceit or discord, people who are a long way from God, the encouragement here is that in some senses it's not our problem, or at least we're not responsible for the outcome. We do not have the job of tidying up everything about our workplace or the society we live in. That's God's job. He will eventually put all things right. So if you like, it takes that burden off our shoulders. We are not responsible for putting everything right. But we do have two responsibilities from this psalm. Verse 1, I call on the Lord. Our first responsibility is to pray. When we see distressing situations, if we live in a distressing culture, the answer is to pray. We pray for our schools, our workplaces, the things we see in the news, the things that aren't as they should be. Let's pray for them. But also, in verse 7, he says, I am for peace, and when I speak, they are for war. There's an encouragement here to be honest and to stand up for the truth. Now, I'm not saying here that we should be activists and, if you like, ramming it down people's throats. But when we have an opportunity, when we have a voice, when we have influence on the culture around us, there is an encouragement here to speak out, even if it's a losing battle, even if what we are saying in the name of Jesus is not going to be honoured and respected, we're going to lose that decision. There is just an encouragement for us to speak out the truth and to trust that God is sovereign and that ultimately he's in charge. So, facing the challenge of culture, well, have confidence in the Lord who judges wickedness. He's in control, and our job is to be faithful, to pray, and to live for him. Those are our first challenge, first encouragement. We've got two more to come very briefly. We're going to have a short break. If you could find your service sheets, you'll see in there Psalm 121 has been printed in your service sheets. Don't look at your Bibles in your hand because it's a different translation. In your service sheets, you'll find Psalm 121. Why don't we stand up, stretch our legs, and we're going to say this together as a church family. It's on the screen there. It's on the handout. Opportunity to stretch your legs. And let's say together, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Well, do have a seat. One more encouragement for us to see this afternoon from Psalm 121. This is perhaps one of the best known psalms. I certainly remember singing it as a child. It's probably the first little bit of scripture I knew. I'm tempted to sing it now. I won't, to save your ears and to keep us short. But those words, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. That's the song I remember singing as a child. And I love the words of this psalm. But I think also, I slightly misunderstood as a child, and probably until fairly recently, verse 1. I always looked at those words. They're on the service sheet. I lift my eyes up to the hills. And I thought, oh, looking at the hills, looking at God. But actually, I think there's another side to this. For the person writing this, for Jews in that culture in that time, the hills probably represented danger. A few years ago, my dad was a vicar in London. We had a number of people in the church who were from Nigerian backgrounds. And once they invited Dad to go over for about 10 days and have 10 days in Nigeria, visiting their family, visiting their church, visiting their village. He had a lovely time. But to get to this village, he had to travel from the capital, south, to their village, which was about halfway up the country. And they had to go through the mountains. And as they got close to the mountains, they stopped, they had a break, and the driver said to them, right, get a drink, use the facilities, because once we are in these mountains, we will not stop for anything. Then they got in the car and drove off. And as they got into the early bits of the mountains, there was a car on the side of the road, people waving, apparently in distress. Driver said, we do not stop for anything. It's a trap. As they drove through, bullet fire came from the mountains, hit the bulletproof glass, burst one of the tyres. And the driver put his foot to the floor, despite the broken tyre, and said, we do not stop for anything. The hills represent the unknown. They represent danger. This is a psalmist singing as he walks through these hills, looking at these mountains towering above him, thinking, I don't know what's there. I don't know what trouble I'm going to face. Maybe you remember the story that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan. Did you ever notice it's on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho? A dangerous desert road through the mountains, where actually it was all too common for lone travellers to be attacked. The hills represent danger. And where does the help come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. And that fits with the whole of the rest of this psalm. These are all about the dangers of travelling. He will not let your foot be moved. He will not let the sun strike you by day or the cold of the moon by night. He will keep you from all evil. All of this psalm is about the dangers of travelling. And these aren't literal dangers we're talking about here. If you imagine Jewish people singing this song as they walked through the desert, as they walked those roads, of course some of them slipped and twisted their ankle. Of course some of them got sunburned. Of course they were cold at night. The point of this psalm, you could paraphrase it like this. I may slip on this road, but God won't let me slip from his path. I may get burnt in the sun. I may freeze at night, but ultimately nothing can harm me. I'm kept by God. It's about the challenges of life and the confidence we can have in God. So as we think about those challenges we might face today, well, we're not walking through the desert. But the challenges of health. Are we worried about our health or the well-being of our family? or wealth? Are we concerned about what a coming recession and 13% interest rates are going to do to our budget? Are we concerned about the cost of food going up? Or maybe it's just that we feel the risk of failure. Living as a Christian is hard. How am I going to keep going? Well, this psalm is for us. We see that in the face of the challenges of life, we can have confidence in God who keeps his people. Confidence in God who keeps his people. So very briefly, three things to see about God from this psalm. First of all, he is the creator God. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We know that God is a God who has the power to keep us safe. He made the universe, he controls it. We also see that he is a God who does not sleep. Did you see that in verse 4 and 5? Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We may be fickle, we may be tired and weak, but God isn't. He is faithful, he is reliable, and he is always alert. And we see in the New Testament that Jesus is always praying for us. He's always interceding for us at the right hand of God. We have a God on our side who is alert and always on our side. And finally, and most importantly, did you see that word keep? I asked Phil to print out the version we've got here, because the NIV translates it two different ways and you lose the impact of that word. But six times in these few verses, we get that phrase, the Lord who keeps. We get it in verse 3. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel, verse 4. The Lord is your keeper, verse 5. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It's hard to miss it. The psalmist wants us to know that God is a God who keeps us. He looks after us. He protects us. He is our caretaker, our protector. I'm reminded of the words that Jesus said in John chapter 10 when he describes himself as the good shepherd. John 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus repeats in different words the encouragement of this psalm, that God is a God who keeps us, who looks after us. And for those who are trusting in Jesus, there is no need ultimately to fear. We may face, well, we will face challenges in life. We will face hard times. We may face times of great pain. But ultimately, no one can snatch us out of his hand because he is the God who keeps us. So, ultimately, two challenges and two encouragements. As we face the challenges of culture, well, we have a sovereign God who will judge and put things right in the end. As we face the challenges of life, we can have confidence in a God who keeps us, who is our good shepherd. Now, these are psalms that encourage us to sing. They're supposed to encourage us with their truths. So I think it seems appropriate that we're going to sing in a moment again in response to what we've just heard. So I just pray as Richard gets ready at the piano. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can have confidence in you, that you are a God who deals with wickedness, and that you are a God who keeps us, and you are our good shepherd who will never let us go. Amen.